Hello and welcome to the Advent AM podcast, Risk and Business. This week I'm joined by our Head of Training Academy, Michelle. Why don't you just start by, because we haven't done a podcast with you before, just saying a little bit about your role here at Advent.
Yes, so I'm a senior consultant and, as you've said previously, the Head of Training. So my role here is to basically manage, train, create, adapt our training portfolio. So I do everything from the CSIRO training, the IAO training, data protection training, AI training, and I create quite a few bespoke courses for individual organisations as well. And when I'm not training, I have the fun job of being one of our business continuity leads for the consultancy team. So I go out and about looking at ways to help organisations plan for when things go wrong.
Yeah, so talking about when things go wrong, let's talk about cyber incidents. And I thought we'd have a chat about who should lead on cyber incidents, but also have a think about who should be involved in a cyber incident in terms of subject matter experts, key stakeholders, that sort of thing. So what would your opinion be on that?
So I got asked this question on one of our third-party assurance for policing training courses, whereby they get incidents sent to them, especially from the National Monitoring Centre. And it becomes a bit of an incident in itself as to who takes ownership from it. Mm-hmm. And should it be the cyber team or should it be the information team? Or should those teams be merged together? Now, the bottom line is there's no right or wrong answer as such. I suppose it's going to go into, well, it depends. And I really hate that word, it depends. I do a fun exercise in one of the training courses where we can't use the word it depends. Because some incidents will be a lot more cyber related and some incidents will be a lot more incident management related. But obviously there has to be one process. And mm-hmm. I would say there should be some form of triage. Now, it can be either team that manages them in, but I think it should be triaged and you can go down then what team should own it. Or the alternative, and as I say, we can go and expand on these points, is that one team manages when the incidents come in from the National Monitoring Centre and then they get sent out for investigation to another team, such as the cyber team if it's being managed by the information team. Yeah. But the information team would retain the management of the incident. So that's just me pulling on experience from a previous life when I looked at complaints. And it's only the same as if I used to deal with a complaint and it had multiple issues and I had to reach out to different departments. They wouldn't retain ownership of that complaint, but would do part of the investigation. So there's many different ways of doing it, and it's just finding what the right one is for that particular organisation.
Do you think in part the answer to this question is muddied by the over blanket use of the term cyber to mean a whole range of things, including information governance, information assurance, information management, you know, a lot of stuff that sits within established cyber frameworks like the CAF, for example, isn't really pure cyber, is it?
Absolutely not. And I do think as soon as you say the word cyber, people think, oh, computers. But it's when you think information, and as soon as that, if information is in hard copy, people wouldn't give that to the IT team or the cyber team. So just because now it's in a Word document in a digital format, why is it all of a sudden a cyber problem? Yeah. And I think that's where the lines can get blurred or the waters could get muddied, in the sense that as soon as you do any form of any information on a computer, it's, oh, this is an IT problem. And it's really not.
No, I agree. And how important do you think is a training of incident response teams to make sure that everybody understands the role they play in this?
I think it's not done enough. I think organisations tend to be really good at doing business continuity, incident training around, you know, if the building is set on fire or things like that. But what happens when the incident happens on a technical capacity? And I think organisations are starting to get it now, and they're doing the tabletop exercises with the people that are named in the plans, which is brilliant because the people named in the plans are important people. But the trend that I have noticed is the people on the ground, the people that are not named in these plans, they never get any training. Yeah. So when an incident happens, these people that are not named in the plan still have a job to do, but they don't actually know what to do because they're never run with them. So yeah, that's all well and good when your head of IT, your head of HR, your marketing and communications manager knows what to do. But what about Tom, Dick and Harry, who are your frontline workers who are going, oh, something's happening. Well, what do we have to do?
Yeah, I was asked a similar question in some CSIRO training this week, actually, which is, okay, this is all well and good, but what happens inevitably when the incident is out of hours and many of these key stakeholders work office hours? So it's important to have that resilience in your planning to have more than one respondent and to have more than one tactical advisor so that you can deal with that.
Absolutely, because incidents only ever happen at 4 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so in terms of an organisation's resilience then, and so one of the things I quite often observe is when a cyber incident does occur, or an information incident, let's be more accurate about this, does occur, is that inevitably that seems to then try to get shoehorned into an ITDR process rather than an actual resilience process from an information management. Would you say it seems similar in your experience?
Absolutely. Once again, it comes back to it, well, it's computer, so it must be pushed onto them. And I keep saying to people in my training sessions especially that the IT department ultimately give you the filing cabinet to hold your information. You are responsible for the information in each drawer. If something goes wrong within that information in the drawer, what do you do?
Quite right, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. You can go and get a fancy new filing cabinet, but that's all the IT department is going to be able to do for you. So what happens to the information? How do you move it across to that new filing cabinet? What do you have to do about the pages that are missing? Who needs to move it? Mm-hmm. And how do you manage that process?
Yeah, and as someone...
You need to bring it back to a physical perspective because... As I said previously, as soon as anything touches a computer, all of a sudden, it's a cyber, it's a digital.
And as some of my contacts found out at tail end of last year, when your resilience planning is all electronic and is stored in AWS or Microsoft Teams, both of whom had significant outages towards the end of the year, then actually your key documentation is out of reach because your filing cabinet has just disappeared.
Yeah. You know, we're talking, 20 years ago, really, when you think about the amount of paper that used to be held. Now it can fit on something smaller than a computer mouse. And then it goes back to the saying, just because we can, does it mean we should? And yes, you know, we've got the CIA, the confidentiality, the integrity and the availability. And we do look at the availability a lot. But we've also got to remember the confidentiality, and I think we either go hot-headed one way or hot-headed another. So we either lock everything up and don't share it, don't do anything with it, or we think, well, actually, we can put everything on this memory stick and walk around town with it, and if we lose it, whoopsies, we can just re-download it.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for your insight into that, Michelle. I think that's been really useful.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You're listening to Advent AM's podcast, Risk and Business. This is a Risk and Business bite-sized. And I've been joined today by Michelle, our Head of Training Academy. Thanks, Michelle.
No problem, Mike. Thank you for having me.